welcome to the show. It's the best podcast that we know. We are glad to have you here. Let our voices massage your ears. It's free and it's online. It's an hour of your time. So welcome to the Brother Stream Show. Welcome to the Brother Stream Show.
Hello, welcome to the Brother Stream Show. I know what you're thinking. I'm trying to have breakfast. What's going on here?
Yeah.
We thought we would put on a little bit of a podcast, interview some people, and see how that goes. I'm Simon Streep.
I'm Dill Streep, and this is the very first one, so we're just going to adjust the volume slightly, and then after that we'll be all good.
There we go. With us on the show today, who is this? This happens to be...
Hi.
Who are you?
No, I'm not hi. I'm saying hi. My name's Phil. It's too early for that.
Yeah. Mm. Oh, and I'm Stuart. Hello. How are you all in podcast land and here at Revelations Cafe?
How many of you are really bothered by the fact that you've got people talking while you're trying to enjoy your eggs?
I think it works.
They're being very kind.
Okay. All right.
I think it works well if you kind of come for breakfast and the person is not being very conversational. You feel like you're not getting anywhere with the dialogue.
It's the same reason you go to dinner theater.
Yeah,
you don't
totally.
Have to have small talk with the family.
That's what we like.
You just have to kind of invest in what we're talking about.
Mm. Yeah, there you go. And what's nice is that when a table laughs at something that you haven't said,
it's a
laugh that counts anyway.
I'll take my laughs any way I can get them.
Nonetheless. So how was your trip up here, guys? Did you have a good trek to Grahamstown?
It's always the last 3 hours, like between PE and Grahamstown. Is it 3 hours?
It feels like you're driving really slowly,
yeah. And it takes forever. And then I was sandwiched between two trucks, and I was really scared, but I'm glad to be. And then the first night I got here, I couldn't get into my driveway because there was a donkey just standing in the middle of the driveway, and it did not want to move.
Nice.
It didn't want to move, yeah.
It's very strange coming to Grahamstown and starting to encounter donkeys. We were coming here this morning to do the podcast, and two donkeys were running up the lane that we were driving in, full steam ahead, almost playing like a game of chicken.
Did they have a donkey cart attached to them?
They weren't attached anymore. The donkey cart was further back, kind of chasing them.
This is the only town in the country where you can just have breakfast conversation about donkeys, and it's quite true. Normal.
Has anyone seen a baby donkey? I need to know, because I've never seen a baby donkey. I don't know what they look
like.
Do
you feel like they just come out fully grown?
I feel like they're just born fully grown, and then they just stand somewhere, and they're like, well, this is my life now. This is me.
Donkeys are almost extinct. Did you know that?
Really?
Yeah, donkeys are almost on the endangered list.
They all evolved into horses.
I think so. Besides Grahamstown, when last have you seen a donkey?
There's a donkey sanctuary in Great and Western Cape where retired donkeys can go and hang out with other retired donkeys.
Mm. What age do donkeys retire at? When do they think, oh, I've had enough of just eating grass and doing nothing, I'm going to retire?
Is that where the phrase donkey's years comes from?
Oh, probably. So good. I was just thinking of that.
Mm. Sorry, I stole your fire there, didn't
no,
I?
No, that's all right.
What I like about the drive up to Grahamstown is if you're looking at your phone, you can start seeing which towns are more advanced
than other
towns.
Why are you looking at your phone while you're driving?
Well, because I was a passenger for...
Oh, okay.
We've
come up 6 years in a row, and this is the first year that I've offered to drive.
Well done.
Yeah. So you get to see like, oh, okay, cool, Heidelberg has LTE. That's interesting. Mm. And then other towns have 3G, and Grahamstown has nothing, which is quite fun, you know.
They invented internet and then sent it to the rest of the world, and now don't have it anymore.
Seems like that.
Did you know, speaking of LTE,
yeah,
if you're a farmer... and a network offers you a tower to put on your farm because they need the coverage. You get so much money that you don't have to farm anymore.
Not really. It's not that much money. I was looking at a house and there was a cell phone tower on it.
Yeah.
And it was on the bedroom. And the thing is, we were buying it from it was a deceased estate. So I'm assuming that the dude probably died of the radiation.
Oh, wow.
Don't worry, you get 6,000 rand a month
in the tower.
The tower
was already there.
But I will be dying.
The tower was already there. So what I'm saying
is that the
build the infrastructure on your farm. It's like, dude, we're going to pay you this much money. And it's like, oh, cool. I guess I don't have to farm millies anymore.
Ah.
Radioactive millies.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, do you think they pay so much because of the dangers? Because I feel like having that great signal would be an advantage. You'd be quite stoked to have perfect signal wherever you are at all times. I mean, you get dead like moments in your house, like the bathroom doesn't have great signal,
yeah,
but the bedroom does.
Mm.
But if it's cell phone tower on your plot, you can just be weeing away with the best Wi-Fi you've ever had in your life.
With green wee because of the radiation in your body.
I like how I like how they try to hide the towers sometimes in like a clever pine tree formation.
Those are always nice.
Fooling anybody when you go past one of those.
When I was living in Bloemfontein, there was one down the road from me that had it was a palm tree tower, and it had a fake baboon on as well.
Wow.
A statue
that's
of a baboon.
That's commitment.
Yeah.
Wow.
Now, Phil, we need to chat to you briefly, because we, for ages, were quite happy, me and Dylan, of being pretty much one of the only musical comedy acts at the festival.
Mm.
And then, I mean, Deep Fried Man pitched up at some stage. We sort of managed to sort of drive him out of town. Sned Ludlow's pitched up and managed to also get rid of him. But you now have come and ruined it again. Now people are looking through the program seeing, oh, well, I'll see Phil because I've seen the Brothers Streep.
Well, that's friendly, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's nice and welcoming of you.
No, well, it's making us insecure because when we were chatting to our tech team, they were going off about how many more cues you have than us, how many more props
your show is far more sophisticated than
us. Well, look, let me then ease your mind a little bit. Is that I see you guys as musicians through and through. I'm not a musician. I don't really have an original song in my set.
Hello, your ukulele skills are pretty wild though.
Yeah, but I play it for like a minute at a time. And I've actually looked at it without even knowing when I was writing. I've written more other bits of comedy.
Yeah.
There's less ukulele and musical comedy in it than anything
else. You've learned the right thing to do, though. You play for a minute because that's how long people's attention spans actually are.
And that's
are.
Also how long people enjoy listening to a ukulele for.
Exactly. Whereas we play songs sometimes up to 3 minutes and halfway through wish, oh man, we should have stopped.
They're no longer with us, the audience, but now we've got to continue out these chords, otherwise the show is going to be too short. So you've actually done it better. That's pretty good.
Okay, thank you.
Stu, how was your trip up to the fest?
It was pretty uneventful.
Can I call you Stu? Sorry.
You can call me Stu. Everyone calls me Stu.
Okay.
Stu. It was cool. I split my drive.
Okay.
Yes.
Down the middle.
Not down the middle. I split it sort of 10%, 90%. I did it in the reverse way.
That's the worst split.
Yes. I drove to Hermanus first and spent the night there. So basically, I just took care of Cape Town traffic first.
Solari's pass is
I did Cape Town traffic and Solari's pass. And then the rest of the journey
the
afterwards. Yeah. Which is lovely. That means you refreshed by the time you
for the next 9 hours, though. That's a bit of a weird way to split it. We did the 50-50 split.
Yeah. Where did you stay?
We stayed in
Sedgefield.
Oh,
you heard of it?
I have. I drive through there every year.
It was a week. I did it in one go.
Really?
One go.
See, the thing with the driving up for me is you were talking about being sandwiched between trucks and how frightening that can be.
Yeah.
It's you right. Put so much work into passing trucks that it almost feels like you do need to do it in one go.
And then you make a
pit
stop, and then when you pull out from your pit stop again, then they're ahead of you.
That's the worst part.
It's soul-destroying. So we just did it, no pit stops, whole way up, past the trucks, and that's it.
I did that as well. I stopped for petrol, and then I was like, quickly, before the trucks catch up again. And then
petrol still dripping out as you drive
exactly.
off.
Yes.
I want to know, Stuart, so you were on Going Nowhere Slowly.
I was many years ago when I was young.
Was that a fun thing to do? Did you feel like you got somewhere at the end of it, or...
I felt like I'd been everywhere at the end.
Everywhere.
Everywhere.
You've been waiting the whole morning to tell that joke.
Yeah, how exactly does someone go nowhere slowly?
Well.
It makes me think of like a travelator in an airport where the people go
walk
and stand
backwards.
On it and then don't actually walk.
Mm.
And people walking are walking faster than you.
That's pretty much how the series felt. we were on a career path, watching other people do other things go past us.
Well, I looked it up online, and there were a lot of episodes. It seems like
there were many seasons.
Were you in all of them?
No, I wasn't. I in fact wasn't one of the first people cast. I only came in around about. It felt like they were like a month into shooting, which was only like three episodes in, because they took a long time to shoot each episode. And so I only joined Going Nowhere Slowly around about sort of episode 4 of the first season, and then I ended up doing many, many seasons of it.
Did you ask to be retrofitted back into the first episodes? Did you do a bunch of green screen stuff?
This is many years ago, eh? There was no green screen. There was there were no GoPros. We'd have to buy a small, big camera and put it on the car. It was crazy. It'd be so much easier to shoot that show right now.
How far did you drive up?
We drove, the furthest we drove was up to Malawi.
Did you do a 90-10 split on the way up?
We did. We stopped in PE and then drove the PE to Malawi in one go.
So we were asked once back in the day, it's hard to remember all the details, to kind of write a song to be used on Going Nowhere Slowly.
Oh.
Because not the main theme, because that would be impossible to top. Going Nowhere Slowly, and that's all right.
I actually interviewed the musician that did that. Song.
Really?
Oh, I forgot so his name and his band. But
7 Day Story.
That's the guy.
7 Day
it's
Story.
Just so good. We couldn't write anything better, so we didn't.
We just left it right there.
So, they asked you to write a song for Going Nowhere Slowly.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, it was going to be somewhere within the episode, not like a theme.
Like while someone's eating a cook sister or something, something that we made.
People don't realize it. That was the charm of the show.
Many
travel shows have come and gone, but they never quite hit the mark. And the reason I believe that GNS was that popular is because of the
GNS
local music. That gave it an awesome.
Was it 100% local music that they used?
Absolutely, yeah.
Oh, that's
because awesome. Then we didn't have to pay.
You guys, were way ahead of your time.
Schlaf, SABC stole your idea, and there was no money.
What was the weirdest thing that ever happened to you or someone on that show? Because there must have been some very strange moments.
I had lots of my things stolen. Often they break into the hotel and just steal our things.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so I have many, like a list of places you probably shouldn't stay at in this country. Viv fell off the car. That was,
that episode.
Yeah, we're driving through Malawi and we had this thing where we'd car surf into a new country.
Okay.
It just felt like a cool thing to do. You'd stand on the side of the car and car surf.
Very responsible.
Yeah. Extremely. And we're driving and we're car surfing and it's myself and Viv and a dude we just picked up in a backpackers and it's awesome. We drive for about 20 minutes and then Dave Foster, who's also a musician, stops the car, goes, right guys, let's get in. Viv goes, I want to keep going. So we drive for a bit longer. I swear to goodness, we forget Viv is on the back. And now we're gunning it to get to Lake Malawi before the sun goes down. We're doing like a good 100 Ks an hour with a trailer. Viv is standing on the back of the car. And we hit a pothole. And as we hit a pothole, we're like, Viv!
Suddenly the car feels a bit lighter.
Yes.
Yeah. And then did you guys have to like DIY medical care, I remember?
We did. There was no DIY. Well, you know what's amazing was...
Oh, wait. Like, this was all included in the show?
Yeah, it was all in the show.
This sounds like behind the scenes stuff you'd never want to let out.
No, just a disgusting episode. Because I was disgusted with the director who was there with the camera. I was like, dude, to get a bandage, not a camera. So we find the resort, we carry inside, and I run to the bar and I shout at a bar full of young ladies, is there a doctor here? And these 12 Swedish nurses stand up. We are all nurses.
Wow.
How fortuitous was that?
Brilliant.
Swedish nurses are found everywhere.
They are.
Because that's the cliche, really, yelling, is there a doctor on the plane?
And I got to shout.
That was an amazing moment for you in your life. You got to run into a place and shout, is there a doctor?
Just imagine if you'd yelled, are there 12 Swedish nurses in the house? Yes. That's my Swedish.
I've always thought, like, it's going to be very awkward in that situation where you do need a doctor on the plane and you shout it out. And then someone steps up and goes, I'm a doctor. And it's like, awesome. Can you help me with this? No, I'm a doctor of music. Because they get those doctorates, it sort of will ruin it for everyone.
Yeah. To be fair, if I got a doctorate, I would also want to be called doctor all the time.
Because absolutely.
You really work
Dude,
hard.
My wife is working on a PhD. I want to be called doctor if she gets that thing.
By osmosis.
Yeah, doctor and doctor.
So if you get your master's, do people get to call you master?
I have to call my wife master.
Right. I think if she if she took your surname, then you can take a title.
That's my whole thing. Yeah. It's like, there will be a Dr. Taylor.
Perfect.
And they, because we live in this horribly sexist, misogynistic world, they will assume when the table is for Dr. Taylor and family that it's me.
Yeah.
Lovely.
So, Phil.
Yes.
You've chosen to play a very small guitar.
Yeah.
Why did that happen to you?
Because I saw a lot of musical comedians playing normal sized guitars and I thought, how can I be different? And
and that was it. Oh. But now, you see, you've done the weird thing with your poster where you've already got a small guitar.
And a big head,
but you've chosen to have a big head.
Well,
it's the weird combo, huge head.
That entire poster and all of that artwork, which obviously everyone listening knows exactly what it looks like right now, it was tactical. Like I looked at, I don't know if you guys remember Mad Magazine, but Alfred E. Newman was always on a very orange striking background with a big head, and it gets your attention. So my tactic at Grahamstown is take my poster and put it next to other comedians' posters so that when it's like, so like you see a big name like Stuart Taylor, yeah,
and then, you see a big head,
and
like
then you see a big head like full of lung, and it grabs your attention. It's
I see you chose not to chip your front teeth out to do the full Alfred E. Newman.
You could have done it in Photoshop.
Oh yeah, that's also
like
true.
Like a gap.
Yeah. But then people might have been disappointed when they arrive. Exactly. Not only no do you not have a big head, but
he has a guy that looks after his teeth. Damn it, I want to do.
I think people can go onto your Twitter feed or your Instagram to check out the poster we're talking about.
Yes,
how are they going to do that?
Take your full.
Take your full.
Being P-H-I-L.
Okay.
Take your full.
Take your full.
I like that. Stuart, have you ever thought of dabbling in the musical realm?
No, not at all. I don't even sing when I'm in the shower.
What?
That's how unmusical I am.
But you used to do magic. Do you do magic tricks in the shower?
I do.
Make the soap disappear.
That's the one trick I do. No, it's I'm not. I don't. Maybe I'll learn. I think I'm going to learn to play the piano.
Okay.
I think you should learn to play the double bass or the cello, so that if the three of us stand in a line, you can have the massive guitar, we can have the normal size guitar,
and you have the small one,
and Phil on the tiny.
Okay.
Then we
can form a skiffle band of some sort.
Yeah. And we just Simon sang in the shower this morning.
Yeah.
That's right.
Why were you in the shower with him? You guys saving water.
We stay in a very small place that the shower is, you know, close enough to here. It was good. Okay. You're doing some little warm-ups.
Needed to warm up because I've managed to get a cold since being here, which is, you don't want to start your festival with a cold. That's kind of...
No, you want to end it with a cold. Yeah. That's how I like to
cold
end
and
it.
Regret.
If you don't get sick at festival, then you weren't here.
Simon gets sick for the two of us. Yeah. The first year you came, I think you got sick enough that neither of us would ever get sick like again kind of thing.
I've had one of those. I've had one where I got so sick I had to be taken to the hospital up here.
Is there a hospital in Grahamstown?
There's two next to each other. The private one is next to the public one. In fact, it's the same hospital, two different entrances. Oh. Very important.
And the one they put you on a stretcher, the other one a donkey. It just depends.
It depends on which one. And I had my medical aid card, so I went into the one where they have cappuccinos as opposed to just regular coffee. So I said to the doctor, listen, I don't actually care about Grahamstown, but I've got this massive show at the Baxter next week. Yeah. I need an injection of sorts. Just give me a cortisone shot so my voice can come right. And then he said to me, this is classic drug-seeking behavior.
Cortisone is my favorite legal drug.
Well, he wouldn't give it to me.
Oh, he didn't give you
seeking drugs.
It's amazing. Like,
it warms
when
you.
I lose my voice, if I'm sick, I lose my voice. You just... have a little bit of cortisone.
But how do you get this cortisone thing you speak of?
I ask my doctor, and the doctor
just gives.
Don't ask the Grahamstown doctor. I'll tell you that
he only give you like an eighth zone.
Stuart, you can just ask your wife
My wife from the future when she gets her doctorate.
Exactly.
To go in there.
We touched upon your magic.
Yes.
It's a fun thing to say.
Was I not supposed to bring that up? I'm sorry.
No, not at all. It was in my notes to bring up. I'm very excited. I see that you were 3 years comedy magic champion.
Well.
Reigning.
Reigning. Well, yeah, I mean, there's not that many comedy magicians.
Okay.
In this country.
I think the pool was a little thin.
Yes, the pool was particular. I mean, this was many years ago. This was before the emergence of our comedy kind of explosion. It was like in the late 90s.
Mm.
Is it still in my bio?
Do you know what? We're going to get to your bio later, and it is still in your bio.
Oh, it's still in your bio.
It's impressive because I don't want to pat myself on the back too much, but I came second in the junior close-up magic.
Oh.
I felt like we could bond.
We can bond.
I was at the college.
There you go. I mean, the college obviously an amazing stepping stone for many performers.
Yeah,
In every interview, I always mention the college and I talk about the people who've come from the college, and I will add you to that, roster.
It was an interesting time for me.
So how do you do that trick? Because I see Stuart Lightbody does it all the time, and your name is also Stuart, so you must know.
I do know.
Where you eat the pins and then...
Eat the pins.
And then you pull them out. How do you do that?
Well, you do it with your tongue. You've got to have a well-trained tongue. They teach it to you in course 4 at the College of Magic.
Yeah. All right.
Stuart Lightbody got into trouble for doing that on a cruise ship, and someone complained because kids could have been watching.
kids could have been watching.
Yeah, they weren't watching, but right. kids could have been watching.
It's and nice to complain about things.
Yeah. Good thing you didn't saw someone in half, otherwise.
Because kids could have been watching.
You were almost controversial, and that is problematic.
Just when there's nothing to complain about, somebody can find
someone
something.
Someone will do something. Yeah. Someone will do something.
Did you have a favorite magician growing up, or did you just kind of go into it completely on your own?
I would say the magician who besides David Gore, who's obviously like the patriarch of magic in Cape Town.
Yeah.
I saw a guy named Tom Ogden.
Okay.
Who was an American magician, and it was the first time I saw someone do magic, but he was so funny and the magic didn't matter. The comedy was all important. And that performance became the inspiration and almost a template that myself, Riyad Musa, Conrad Koch started working off. And that really, I suppose if you want to go back to who's responsible, we are, mm-hmm. I guess that's, he would be the one who was a firm favorite.
Okay. Are you a fan of magic performance or magic performance, whatever, that isn't... So it doesn't have a comedy angle, like serious magicians.
David Blaine
is weird. I don't know if he's
I don't like those street magician dudes. I'm not a fan of the street magician stuff, but I am fan of any of the. Just watching a slick, polished performance and being blown away is great.
Yeah.
I still get a thrill.
Is there a guy that tried to make Cape Town disappear? Some other magician a few years ago.
Like that was the mayor. It's the premier. Yeah.
make room for a parking lot or something.
It seems with a lot of the comedy magicians that I've seen, it's almost like they're just following the same script. Like if you become a comedy magician, do they go, these are the jokes. Don't go beyond this.
There's a book you can buy. There's a book you can buy with the jokes. And it's where most people start. I mean, yeah. So I suppose there are those hacky jokes. But when you watch someone really original, it's something special.
Yeah.
Do magicians get, they get sensitive? Not sensitive, but I mean, do people steal other magicians' tricks?
Yes.
And then there's magician beef, and then they like shoot.
Yeah, worse than
beams at each other.
worse than comedy. There's a great Netflix documentary about this group of magicians. One is this German guy who does the show in Vegas, and then a dude across the way at a kind of the rival casino starts doing his same headline magic trick, and it's a big there's lots
you
of
see
beef.
Now a battle between those two magicians, that is a show that I would watch.
In theory it's a third
like
show you'd watch.
Be like trying to saw each other in half the whole time.
Flick cards and stuff.
I saw a great sketch which they did as part of a College of Magic production, because there was a very famous beef in the sort of 1700s between these two magicians, these vaudevillian magicians, and they were like these two great magic families. And they did the show together eventually. I think they did do a sawing it off. But the whole thing was he would saw his wife and he would saw his wife. And then they'd swap the bottoms. So this one was all in red and that one was all in white. And they'd swap and she'd come out with a red top and a white bottom.
That's very cool.
White top, red bottom.
Impressive. I want to know, when Stuart Lightbody performs, he often gets people thinking that he's like summoning the devil to help him do his tricks.
He is, yeah.
Did you ever get those kind of accusations?
Did you ever summon the devil?
I did not. I lost his number.
I think you're right. I think he kind of has been doing that. I think people's assumptions are correct. He likes to. He just looks like the kind of guy that probably is in his spare
it's
time.
It's because he dresses all in black. That's why.
Yeah.
Stuart Lightbody, if you're listening to this, that was Simon that said that.
No.
Confirm that Simon said that you look like the guy that summons the devil.
Stuart Lightbody is probably like he is a phenomenon. Like if you get a chance to see him in this. Wherever, at festival, wherever, go and see him. Like, you have no idea how in demand this guy is in the world of magic.
Yeah.
Like, he lectures magicians in the rest of the world on how to do magic.
And what's great is incredible. If you're at the festival, you can't not see him because
this is true.
He'll just walk up to you and start doing magic in your face.
Ah.
Or he'll just do it telepathically from his hotel room.
Yeah, yeah, you're suddenly like, whoa.
Is that a
Stuart Lightbody's in my head.
Stuart Lightbody's been here.
Much like he's doing right now.
Yeah.
Well, what we like to do in this podcast from time to time is we like to play little games.
So I like games.
We're going to kick off a game.
I love the fact that you say what we'd like to do from time to time. And this is the first podcast.
This is the first one, yeah.
Well, this is the first one that we've done in front of a live-ish audience.
Oh, okay.
We do podcasts from time to time.
We've got two people that are half listening.
That's even Angel Campy is not listening. She's writing a show.
Yeah. She's sending us a mail saying, I'm not going to be on this show later.
how's the cheesecake? Is the cheesecake nice? Great. Cool.
Excellent. Cheesecake for breakfast. Wow.
Genuinely,
the life of a student.
Ooh. We got someone.
Go hard or go home.
Someone tweeted us about how good the cheesecake is. It's obviously like a thing here that's well known.
She
said
she couldn't be here, but her biggest highlight of Revelations is the cheesecake.
So this is the part of the show where you plug Revelations so they can sell more cheesecake.
Yeah. Well, that's how you're paying for the rental space. Thank you very much for having us here at Revelations Coffee Shop. I'm sure this is kind of different for them.
I'm sure.
But yes, we do like to play a game, and this game is called Would You Rather.
Yes.
I'll ask you a couple of Would You Rather questions. We can unpack them. And they've actually been voted on the internet. So there is a definitive answer. And if you get that, you get a point. So you can tell us what you would rather and then tell us what the internet has decided. And at the end of that, I don't know, I'll give you a sugar packet.
Nice.
Which you can take home.
Can I get the sweetener packet?
No. Oh. I'm keeping all of those for myself.
Fair enough.
Okay, so the first one is, would you rather fly or be invisible?
Is it? Do we each answer or do
we can just discuss them. I mean,
am I allowed to ask questions about it?
You can, please.
Okay, are you always invisible?
It seems like the wording on this one is really the crux, because it doesn't say able to be. It's just, would you rather fly or would you rather be invisible?
Whenever anyone picks invisibility, though, I was going to warn you because you look like you're about to pick it. It does always sound like that person's going to be a pervert because everyone just automatically thinks they're going to go sneak into places they shouldn't.
Yeah. What else would you do with invisibility, really? Because you can't steal anything. They'll see the thing.
The floating.
You can't, you'll see money
floating
out of the
bank. It's a floating cheesecake just walking out of Revelation.
They might think it's Stuart Lightbody, though.
This is true. What would you do with invisibility? Whereas with flying, we know you won't be stuck between trucks on the way to Grahamstown.
Yeah, that's true.
There we go. Callback.
Fly.
So fly. Simon.
The problem is, if I would choose fly, but if this is the internet is full of a lot of
people who hang on the internet or the sort of people who would want to be, they want to be invisible anyway.
Yeah, they're deleting their chat history and everything, so they may as well delete themselves. So
this is true.
I'd say the internet might choose invisibility.
Okay, what do you think the internet's chosen?
The internet is perverted.
I think the internet chose invisible, but I choose fly.
All correct. A whopping 52%.
At the end of this, can I ask her, would you rather?
Of course.
I've got one that,
you can actually just ask her right now. Why not?
Would you rather fight?
Yes.
10 donkeys or one eagle?
Okay. Does the eagle have, are these just completely
normal? And the donkeys
normal?
Are drunk on glue vine.
Ooh.
Oh, that sounds like a fairer fight though. Does a donkey bite? I mean, a donkey bite's a thing, isn't it?
I think so. A donkey bite.
I've heard people
say slap somebody's
bite.
Thigh.
Yeah.
I think I'd choose the one
punch
eagle.
Is a thing.
Oh, donkey
that's,
punch.
That's definitely something.
Yeah, that's a thing.
Don't Google it.
I'm going to choose the eagle because I feel like there's one of them and you've waited this fight in favor of me choosing the eagle.
Okay.
Yeah.
An eagle's got flight, though.
It does have flight.
Can come at you from multiple angles.
Yeah. It's not like we can go fight in the air because I don't know.
No, but what I'm saying is it'll always come down at you. And
okay, whereas the donkeys could surround me and a kind of gauntlet.
I feel like it would be easier to get rid of 10 donkeys than one aggressive eagle.
Do you think if you, like sheep, if you send one donkey away, they'll kind of just
wander
off?
Remember he said that they were drunk on glue vine, which kind of gives you a bit of an advantage.
But like aggressive drunk, like stones, like someone in stones.
No, it's just a donkey. I'm sure you could. I mean, donkeys have very weak backs.
Yeah.
Which is why you can't ride a donkey.
Oh, really?
So you must have learned this in varsity.
I have a degree in zoology.
Sure I've seen people ride donkeys at like little fairs.
They're maybe little people.
Tiny little kids.
Yeah, little kids.
What did the internet say, Phil?
This sounded like it was a story from Phil's life. That
I don't know. I was supposed to have done
10.
The research. No, I just thought of it right now.
It's good. I'm going to go against the grain and go with the eagle for what it's worth.
Fair enough.
All right. I think I know where Phil will lean on this next one. Would you rather have the head the size of a tennis ball or head the size of a watermelon?
Oh, I go for watermelon head.
Yeah, same, yeah.
Big head, big brain.
Is it the shape of the watermelon as well? Because some of them are more oval than others.
And I've also seen
texture.
Fairly small.
It's a very, very smooth head.
Yeah, and I've also seen a small-ish watermelon.
Yeah.
Like your head-sized watermelon?
Oh, no. We can't cheat here. It's got to be the classic, this is too big for my body.
You can't have your red velvet cake and eat it.
Unless you're here at Revelations Cafe and for if the best you're, cake in
and
town.
If you choose the tennis ball head, it is going to be furry like a tennis ball.
Oh, my goodness.
I feel like a tennis ball head would probably suit you better on the comedy circuit. I think there'd be something inherently funny about having a really miniature head.
You'd also have to use a lot of product. You'd have to use product to keep
with
that
with a tennis
hair.
Ball head.
Yeah, to keep
less
the hair.
Product.
No, no product for a for a watermelon. Oh, yeah. Some product for a tennis ball.
Do you guys think you'd be answering questions like this morning?
Okay, I've got another question. The watermelon. So we assume that it's an oval shape.
Yeah.
And is it upright or to the side? Because that will definitely change.
Are we talking about Hey
decision.
Arnold or are we talking about cone heads? That's kind
yeah,
of
that's yeah. exactly. Is it a cone head or is it a Hey Arnold head?
Let's go with Hey Arnold head, like a Stewie Ooh. Griffin.
I'm going to go for tennis ball head, by the way.
Oh. Okay.
At least it's got some symmetry.
Right. Then, you know what? You put in Stewie's picture in my mind. I think I might go watermelon.
Okay.
I'm gonna go tennis ball because I feel like with a tennis ball head, you could potentially put a bigger head on yourself. Like you can paper mache a better head. And then you won't look like a weirdo. Well, you look like a weirdo, but you won't look as much as
I think either way, it's going to look pretty weird.
Or you could paint a shark on your face and then you'll be like a hammerhead shark.
Yes. There we go.
Dress up party
well, I think
sorted.
That's what the internet thought because okay. a whopping 80% have gone for the watermelon
really?
Head.
Really?
There we yeah. go. Wow.
I've got one more of these. Actually, I've got two. Should I do one or two? I've got a really weird one.
Do the weird one.
I'll do this really weird one. So I was like trying to find these online the other day and I came across, you know, they're usually quite ordinary, these questions. Would you rather this or that? And then this one was, would you rather be Björk, the Nordic singer Björk, mm-hmm. but clone yourself every time you blink? Or would you be invisible but cause everyone you touch to become Oreos? It's kind of quite out there, the question.
Yeah, that's
so
crazy.
you Bjork, but every time you play, you get a clone.
Every time you blink.
Oh, blink.
Yeah.
Blink.
Yeah.
But I thought you said play a gig, and I was like, ooh.
The world would be filled with Bjork, you know, quickly. After one day.
It'll be like Agent Smith from The Matrix. It'll just get out of control.
Whereas the Oreos, I'm assuming they're not life-size Oreos. They're little normal-size Oreos,
little,
and
yeah,
you can munch them.
You can, but
hey,
again...
I would eat a human-sized Oreo, though.
You have then chosen to be invisible.
Oh, you're invisible again.
Yeah,
oh.
The question is very convoluted.
Oh.
But if you're invisible and you're touching people, once again, you're a pervert. So.
Yeah, that's true. But Bjork, you have to be Bjork.
But then you'd never be able to touch anyone.
Mm.
I don't know if there is an easy answer to this question.
I don't know if I can handle a world full of Bjorks.
But you'd be one of them, so you'd probably love it.
Yeah, but when the others start singing, I'd be like, I'm over this.
Imagine a chorus of Bjorks. Imagine Bjork releasing an Enya album. Okay, well, there is no answer to that one, but I thought it was just fairly interesting.
You came up with that one yourself, didn't you?
I wish.
So this podcast will go out hopefully tomorrow if the internets will allow it, mm-hmm. which means that there's a chance that people will listen to it and still be able to catch your shows. So. Yeah. I want to open the floor for you to be able to shamelessly plug your show. Phil, what is The Full Spectrum about?
The Full Spectrum is, I don't know, it's just a combination of all of the material that I've been writing over the past 3 years, but there's an element in it of radio, so I do like radio sketches on stage that sort of tie the show together, and then I play the ukulele and I do some parody songs and I do stand-up, and it's sort of all about all your careers. Because I've had like 11 jobs in 8 years or something like that. So I just kind of, I guess it's all your careers crammed into your 20s and everything that you go through. If I'm going to try and be deep about it, but it's just a comedy show.
We saw it yesterday and really enjoyed it.
Thank you.
I quite liked the way you had broken it up. We chatted about this actually backstage. The way you have that radio element and then you kind of move from the radio set to the stand-up set. Was that just because you felt like a sit down from every now and again? So I'm a bit tired. No,
I've never done an hour on stage, and I usually get tired after 10 minutes.
I
just
need to rest
for a little bit. So yeah, I just thought, let me write a whole new comedy set just so I can rest every now and then. That's exactly what it was.
I quite like radio character. Is that how you actually present on radio? Because as you say in your show, you've been doing radio for years.
It's embellished.
Slightly embellished.
If you look at if you look at every, I mean, if you listen to a lot of radio stations and you kind of like bring up the cheese, because a lot of radio DJs love the sound of their own voice, so they're playing that. I mean, this is Algoa country here in Grahamstown, and every DJ that I've heard is all like, yeah, welcome to Algoa country. Oh, it's just
amazing, yeah, how you can snap right into character like that.
I'm a pro, man.
I like
it.
Good.
And this is your debut show at
the
festival.
My debut show at the festival.
You've been up before. We've seen you here before.
Yeah. I've done one or two shows, just sort of guest spots and mostly handing out flyers.
Yeah.
Which was the payment for sleeping on somebody's floor as accommodation.
Oh, very nice.
I had to hand out flyers for them to sleep on their floor.
Now you're enjoying the change from flyer hander or outer to debut performer.
And I've got my own room this time. That's never happened
brilliant.
Before. Yeah.
Nice. That's on the up.
And Stuart, what's your show about?
My show is called Funny You Should Say That. And it's about what happens when you turn 40.
Isn't Nick Rabinowitz doing 45 this year?
Yes, he was. And
is it just the same show? You both got together and made up some jokes?
Basically, we sat down at a birthday and went, right, you can have these jokes, I'll have that. No. It's the context, I guess, is about me turning 40 and seeing and realizing that I'm not a member of Generation X or a millennial. I live somewhere in the gap.
But do you actually, I mean, because I'm just over 30 now and yes. I haven't yet started. I mean, you get wake up calls. It's like, oh, that thing happened ages ago, longer ago than I thought it did. But you still don't really feel old. Are you yet feeling 40's old?
40 is a weird thing. No, because you choose where you are. Either you're a young old person or you're an old young person. It's a bit of a weird space.
Phil says he can only stand up for about 10 minutes.
Oh, no, I'm definitely an old young person. I get grumpy very quickly and I like sleeping. That's what
I do. Everyone.
Do you incorporate magic into this show in any way?
Oh, you'll have to come and see to find out.
Jokes are magic, man.
The
jokes are magical. And there might be, just for you, I will do a magic trick in the, because I'm doing my first show today.
Great.
So I will incorporate a magic trick into this performance just for you.
Can you do it with fire? Awesome. I want to see fire.
No, I'll do it with water.
Water, okay. Yeah, you're not allowed to use fire on stage.
Water element, yeah.
Okay. It'd be interesting to know if you did take just a show. Say you did get together with Nick and you wrote an hour together and the exact same thing and you went out and both performed that exact same hour.
Yeah.
Who would do it better? I didn't have to answer that question.
I think it'd be very interesting. So I actually, with the show, I workshopped material with lots of comics. I sat with a bunch of comics and we workshopped stuff. Mm. And it's interesting though, like they would give you a punchline and then they'd perform the punchline.
Yeah.
Then I would do it on stage, but it wouldn't come out the way they said it. It would come out the way I would say it, and then it feels like it's completely different.
Yeah.
Did it work though?
Yeah, punchlines. Okay. So if something is inherently funny, it's funny.
Yeah.
You just gotta. How do you play it?
Because everyone does have their own like sensibility. We even have like weird things. We just wouldn't say that word in a song, but there's no reason as to why we wouldn't. It's like
exactly
that might not just be our word.
Like Kiff.
Yeah. Just wouldn't say Kiff in
a
song.
We just haven't put Kiff in a song yet.
We should try playing songs
for 11 years. Never said Kiff.
There's nothing wrong with it.
Well, the word did die like 11 years ago, to be fair.
I feel like there's a resurgence.
Is it?
Yeah, it's there's a renaissance where you are. Of Kiff.
Like Rad.
Yeah, Rad's. I write Rad every day to somebody in a text.
Okay.
Yeah, and our show, we just play some music. There we go. Finished.
We also like to look at the big questions. So each episode, we're going to ask a big question. Today's big question is quite pertinent because we recently, to learn our shows, because we don't always have the best memory, so we make kind of scratch tracks of our songs. So we have to go and record them somewhere. And in the place that we were recording at, we had this weird thing happen where we just hear these strange, eerie noises coming from the passageways and the corridors. We kind of go out there, see if there was anything there, and then there would be nothing there. And so we pretty much convinced this place is haunted. Which brings me to today's big question is, have you ever seen a ghost?
Would you rather eat some toast?
Oh, there's a song that I hate.
It's the sight I fear the most.
Watch the evening news.
I think so.
You think you've seen a ghost?
My computer might have just been hacked, but I do remember one time the mouse moving around on its own. But that's about it.
But now, did you have a physical mouse on the desktop That was moving.
I'm talking about the pointer.
The cursor, cursor moving.
Okay. Yeah, and actually like activating certain functions on the desktop.
Ooh.
But I, like I said, it might have just been a hack. But I mean, then again, that was back when it was still the dial-up modems. Were people hacking at dial-up modems?
I think like the real advanced guys were getting in there earlier.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay. I got hacked when I had a dial-up modem. Oh, it was a ghost.
It was definitely a ghost.
It was definitely a ghost.
In the machine.
If I was a ghost, I would 100% think, let me use a computer.
Yeah. It's,
you know,
why do ghosts all have to be mean? You'd like,
yeah,
like, some if you want someone, like, just like,
if
yeah.
If you watch Casper, you'll know some of them are helpful.
Yeah. Friendly.
Mm-hmm.
Stuart, have you ever seen a ghost?
I haven't seen a ghost, but the weirdest thing happened maybe about a week or two ago. I walked into my kid's room, and it was like an hour after I'd put him to bed, and he was just having a conversation.
Alright.
That was extremely scary.
That is
a child having a conversation.
And I walked in, and then
that's a premise for a horror movie.
Completely. Yeah. And then he wasn't quite sitting up, but he was in bed. He was wide awake, and then he looked at me and said, "Night, Dad. Night, night." And then he sort of wriggled himself into bed, and I was like, "I don't want to know what was happening there. Just close the door."
Hey, buddy, who are you talking to?
No, right, I didn't want to go there.
Just, you know, Jeremy. Like that, you know Jeremy.
Yeah, you would say thing as you kneel down next to his bed, and you're like, "Who are you talking to, buddy?"
And you're standing like, right behind you,
the dude behind you.
Can't you see him?
A man with one arm.
Because that'll make me sell my house. And
our
I
ghost,
like my house.
Where we were recording, our ghost was, I think, of the helpful kind. Because the noises weren't, ooh, like that. They were more like admin. Like somebody packing boxes and walking them from one room to another.
Oh, my word.
And then you go out and there's nothing.
We had, at the radio station I work at in Cape Town, we had these guys that come in late at night, and he's like a psychic. You know those psychic people that
was
like...
Was it Bruno?
Bruno
the clairvoyant?
It might have been someone else. I know there's like three of them in Cape Town. But he's sitting there, and he says to us, "Do you guys know that there's a ghost in the office?" And we're like, "Where?" And he's like, "No, he sits by the printer." And all this ghost was apparently doing was just printing one sheet of paper every now and then.
Wow.
That is a, you know, if you
passive aggressive ghost,
if you year and you've got time on this earth to do also, you can go to Australia surely as a ghost.
Yeah.
You can go to Spain. You can go. Why are you sitting at the freaking radio station?
What's happened is you've been on Phil's computer and you're just going, I really want to print what I just saw, but I can't get it to work. This printer's just not.
Do you think
a
ghost? Because you often see, you don't see, but if you had to see a ghost, they'd be walking around. They kind of walk through doors, but that's cool. But they still seem to move like you would move through passages, etc.
Yeah. So if they want to get to PE, would they have to hitch a lift?
Yeah, get in a car. Yeah. Get in an aeroplane to get overseas.
No, but remember, ghosts float through things. So if you put a ghost on an aeroplane, then when the aeroplane will take off, they choose when to float through things and when not. Can they?
I don't know.
They'd have to stay awake through the whole flight. Just be like, I'm here. Don't fall off.
Yeah. That is interesting. I've seen the film Ghost a number of times. I own it on DVD. So that's as close as I've got, I think.
Have you watched the remake of Patrick Swayze's classic Dirty Dancing?
No. The remake or the sequel?
No, the remake. They did a remake.
A remake?
It was a two-part mini-series that was it was on its 20th anniversary or 40th anniversary or 60th, I'm not sure, whichever anniversary. It was this year.
And then he learned his lessons? Did he still put baby in a corner?
They put baby back in
Patrick
the corner.
Swayze?
Oh, the most awful actors and actresses. It was the worst.
Well, all of them.
The worst. I love
a couple of actors on each other's shoulders.
It was the girl from Little Miss Sunshine played baby.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So
she wasn't bad, but the production was awful.
I haven't even seen the original. Can you believe it?
Well, what?
I've seen the original too many times. My sister used to watch it when we were kids over and over and over again.
Yes.
It's not a very good film. For a film that's really popular, it's got like a good dance number at the end and that's about it.
Well, that's the case with most of the classics.
That is the selling point of the movie though.
The dance number.
I just did a physical thing which no one can see, but
it was that thing from Dirty Dancing
where he lifts her. And is that the right movie where he's holding her above?
Yeah.
Okay.
In the water.
It's impossible.
They practice in the water.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
The next round is a round about Wikipedia. Now, I went online to see if you guys had Wikipedia pages, and much like us and probably a lot of South African comedians, there isn't as of yet a Wikipedia page. So I thought we could make one by taking your bios and sort of just putting some words together and figuring out.
I once made myself a Wikipedia page.
Yeah.
I said that I'd say that I'm a... said Phil DeLange is a multi-billionaire and a philanthropist.
Yeah.
And then it got taken down half an hour later. So.
Hectic. They found out that you were lying in just 30 minutes.
You've got to be verified. Someone's got to verify
What's
that.
What's great is that I think you can be verified by anything. So this podcast can become something that even if no one was to listen to, it's you guys on record of saying these things. And so it can all work. But I'm going to get, Phil, I'm going to get your help making Stuart's biography and vice versa. So what I first need to know is just like a strange nationality, like a group of people. First thing that comes to your mind?
Macedonian.
Macedonian. Perfect.
They're not strange. They just came to mind first on record.
Then I need like a verb. Just like a...
kick.
All right.
Confiscate. Confiscate. Go with confiscate.
Confiscate.
Nice. This is good. It's creative.
That won't make sense, but that's perfect. Then I want... like, what's the strange thing to study?
Horticulture.
Horticulture.
Once again, I'm not saying it's strange. It's just on record that it's the first thing that came to mind. I'm pretty sure it's very important.
I need like a group of people.
A group of people?
Yeah, just like nuns or, I don't know,
can't say
vegetarians. botanists.
No, I want to think of something creative. Damn it. What's okay, waiters.
Waiters, that's perfect.
Not wetters, waiters.
Waiters.
Yes.
All right.
Bed wetters. Let's say bed wetters. Let's go with bed wetters.
Okay, bed wetters. All right, that's good.
Stuart Taylor sitting here thinking, this is my actual bio. How did you know?
Then like some sort of different art form, like a talent that
slam
someone
poetry.
Might have. Slam poetry. All right. Well, let's see how we are. We've got Stuart Taylor, is probably best known to Macedonians as the presenter of the SABC3's hit confiscational show. obviously a show where you just go around confiscating things.
It was a pirate
things.
Copy and it got confiscated. Yeah.
Nice.
But
sounds
when
like a cool show.
I would watch Stuart Taylor just running around confiscating things.
Amazing.
No, sorry, you can't have that.
I'm having that.
Yeah. But when the Stellenbosch University horticulturist graduate is not in front of the camera with mud powdered face and wind styled hair, I guess that was to do with going nowhere story. Taylor is enchanting local and international bedwetters with his headline stand up comedy and slam poetry shows. So that's good.
That is, I want to go and watch this guy now.
Yeah, I will.
Sounds awesome.
I want to see you entertain bedwetters.
Yeah.
All right.
My name is Stuart Taylor, slam poet and comedian.
Is that what you think slam poetry is?
Slam poetry. I don't know. Isn't that slam poetry? I don't know.
I've never seen.
Cool. You rhyme Taylor with Taylor a couple times. Yeah. That's poetry.
I spelt them differently each time. I don't know if you caught up on that.
Tinker, Taylor, Soldier Spy.
All right, Stuart, you can help us with a Phil's one. We need an obscure place, just any place in the world.
A place in the world. Potchefstroom.
Gotcha. Yeah. I want some sort of like niche sort of scene, some sort of niche thing that you could be into.
I'm going to go with mass participation knitting.
Do you know what? That's really weird. I was genuinely thinking of knitting at that point. Mass participation.
That is called weird. Yawning. No, knitting. That's not a word.
Well, this is even though this is your bio, you may not write it.
Okay, sorry.
then kind of a name of a location, just like you can be quite specific if you want.
A location. The Champs-Élysées.
Champs-Élysées.
Great song.
Champs-Élysées. Phil, your bio is quite self-deprecating. Did you write your bio?
Probably, because I am very self-deprecating.
Because, I mean, I don't want to spoil it just now, but it goes on to say that after a messy first 5 minutes on stage, did you...
I wrote that, yes.
Did you write that?
That's the truth, too.
Is that because you're afraid that people would have been at that first gig, and I'm going to go read your bio and be like, okay, he's improved.
It did not go well. He's a liar.
Okay, so for time, I'm going to have to cut your bio short. This is going to be a paragraph.
Go for it.
But, here we have Phil DeLange hails from Potchefstroom. which is true now. It's on a record. And broke into the mass participation knitting scene in 2013 with his much-loved Champs-Élysées in Cape Town. What? Oh, at the much-loved Champs-Élysées in Cape Town. Ah. So it's just more lies to add to your... I think that didn't work as well as
I just like the fact that I was at the Champs-Élysées in Cape Town.
That's that probably could be a club one day in Longstreet.
It'll be on Kloof Street, let's be honest.
You have to go knit there though. It's a knitting club.
To get in you have to be able to knit.
Alright,
we have just enough time for some quick fire questions.
It's true. I'm going to ask all my questions at Stuart. You can ask yours to Phil. We're going to basically decide who wins the show by the way you answer these questions. So there are points involved.
I don't know, I was competing. This isn't fair.
If you answer the question correctly, we'll give you a point. If you answer it incorrectly, won't. And some of these might not even seem like they have correct or incorrect answers, but they do. So
there's a sugar packet up for grabs at the end of this.
Can I get brown sugar though?
No.
Okay.
Keeping those for myself.
Stuart, harp or banjo? Harp or banjo?
Harp.
That is correct. You get 1 point.
Thank you. Okay. Phil, have you ever crowd surfed?
I have not.
Have you ever crowdfunded?
I have.
Great.
All right. Stu, how long is a piece of string?
As long as it needs to be.
That's not correct, unfortunately. That's a good answer, but it's not correct.
If a tree falls on Gareth Woods, what sound does it make?
No one will be there, so we don't know.
Brilliant. Perfect answer.
Stu, what are three things that rhyme with potato?
Shemato, tomato, and flanato. You didn't say English words.
I didn't. So I'm going to give you a point. You could have also had albino, bungalow, domino, dynamo, embryo, patio, status quo, tomato, vertigo, Babylon, weeping willow. So
you said tomato and then he already said tomato. So
that's true, but he could have still had it. He could have
subtract
had it twice.
Subtract a point from yourself as the host.
You could just say it three times and spell it differently.
There we go.
Phil, what's the most embarrassing nickname you've had?
The love child of Helen Zilla and Tintin.
Okay, but not but one that you didn't give yourself.
I'm genuinely not. I did not give that to myself. That was bestowed on me.
Great.
All right.
Cape Town comics can be so kind.
Thank you.
Stuart, can you juggle?
I can.
That's the incorrect answer.
Okay. Phil, socks and sandals or Crocs and candles?
Bloemfontein or Potchefstroom?
Yeah. That's what I had here, actually. Okay. Interesting. Right.
Stuart, have you ever kissed a 70-year-old?
Person?
Yeah, person.
Tree.
No, crocodile.
Probably, yeah.
Cool, that's the correct answer. Yep. We should all kiss a 70-year-old at some stage. We're saying
do we have any 70-year-olds here?
Yes! I think we do, actually.
Yeah, we do, yeah.
This guy here.
Okay, Phil, IMAX or Prestige?
Sorry.
IMAX or Prestige?
IMAX.
Wrong. Prestige. You can lie back at Prestige. Sorry.
Okay. I'm old school. I like the old school cinema.
Stu, it's bigger is better.
What is Alan Committee's deepest, darkest secret?
That his Audi R8 was actually bought from those homeless people who got given an Audi R8 by the crazy dude.
That is correct. You've got a point there.
Phil, your favorite Toy Story film?
3.
That is correct. I would have accepted Toy Story or Toy Story 3.
Stuart, who wrote Eine kleine Nacht music?
Was it Kurt Skundrat's wife, Katrin Bolander?
I'm going to give you a point for that creativity, but the actual answer was Eenie Meenie Mozart.
Ah.
Phil, lying on the beach or lying to your parents?
I'm going to go with lying to my parents because I cannot lie on the beach because I'll get sunburned very quickly.
It's incorrect, but it is funny.
Okay.
All right, Stuart, are you free this Tuesday at 6:30 p.m.?
I probably am not.
You're correct. You're not free. You're doing a show at the Berlin Club at that time.
Lovely.
Well done.
Phil, if it really took 30 seconds to Mars, would you go?
Yes.
Correct.
Can I come back?
No, it's a one-way trip.
Oh, no, then no.
Incorrect. Always yes.
You had a victory in your
course. They do not have hazelnut cappuccinos on Mars.
You clutched defeat from the jaws of victory there.
Yeah. Stu, what is the coldest you've ever been?
Grahamstown cold.
That is probably true. I can give you one for that.
Okay, Phil, what's the worst impulse buy you've ever bought? I'll give you an example.
A ukulele.
I bought a Jamie Oliver Bri.
Now I perform with one.
At a flat that you can't have a Bri at, so it's just in the cupboard.
Stuart, your last question. Who would win in a fight, Oprah or Gail?
Gail, yeah, definitely.
100%. She plays dirty, that Gail.
Yeah.
Last one for you, Phil. If the four of us crash landed in the snow, who would be the first to eat who?
I would eat Stuart.
Incorrect. I would eat Simon.
No, I know. All right.
I would wait for you to die first, though, Stuart, to see.
Oh, that's at least
not that for me either.
That's you'd eat me before I've died.
Put you out of your misery.
While he's still alive.
Yeah. Are you going to start with something that at least puts me out of my misery, like straight away, or are you going to like start at the feet and work
he's
your way
start,
up?
He's going to start at the knee. He wants the eyes bind. He wants the illusion of an eyes bind.
Yeah, I do love an eyes bind, me. All right, so after we've tallied those scores, I believe it's Stuart that's won this round.
What?
Yeah,
you got 8 out of 10. That's
wow.
Pretty good.
Ridiculous. For guessing, that's awesome. There Thank you so much. The, white sugar.
The Hewlett very sugar packet. It doesn't even come with advice like the old sugar packets.
Yeah.
All right, we just got time to just mention where your shows are. Phil, we can see the full spectrum at the Albany Cabaret Club. That's Friday at 4 p.m., Saturday at noon, or Sunday at 8 p.m.
That's right.
Which is 2 for 1, I believe.
The Albany Cabaret Club is at the other bowling club.
Yes.
Because there's two in Grahamstown that are like 300 meters from each other. And I want to like bowling club beef between the two clubs.
Well, that does mean if you come to the wrong bowling club, you can just go to the other one with ease.
Yeah. Which is where your show is, isn't
yes,
it?
This is true.
Yeah, Stu's show is at the bowling club today, actually, at 4:30 p.m. for anyone that is listening live. And those are listening online, he's tomorrow at 10:30 a.m. and a whole bunch of other times until this coming Tuesday. So definitely go check him out.
Yep.
For those that are listening live, I want to give some tickets. There were people that were half attentive, and
it's those
I'd
two,
love
those
to
two
offer them
attentive.
Some comps for my show this evening, yeah. This afternoon. This afternoon, I'll come chat to them.
Cool. And awesome. If people are listening online, where can they find you guys to check out your stuff?
Oh, like the socials.
The socials.
Take Your Fill on Twitter and Instagram, and just Phil DeLange on Facebook, I guess.
Cool.
Yeah, the Stuart Taylor. The Stuart Taylor.
There's another Stuart Taylor trying to...
There are a few of us. There's one very famous soccer player.
Yeah.
Although it did come from... Are you the Stuart Taylor? Yes.
We thought we were getting the soccer player.
The famous soccer player is just a Stuart Taylor.
He's just A, and I'm the Stuart Taylor.
Should have made your bio the real Stuart Taylor.
Well, I've been thinking about that for ages. Like just changing our Twitter handle to the real Brother Streep, implying that there are that people there are that think we are good enough to pretend
nice.
To be.
Yeah. I like that. I might just change mine.
Might even get one of those nice verified blue ticks.
Oh. Live for that blue tick.
Yeah. Mm. Anyway, thank you very much for listening. Thank you for coming and being
thank
on our show.
Thank you very much for having us.
Thanks,
yeah. Thanks
for
the cappuccino.
It's been fantastic.
Great. Pleasure.
Yeah, see I don't. Do I have to pay for my coffees?
No, we'll cover
it.
Oh, thank you guys. Wow.
You've had a decency to come out here and do a show two people, so of course we'll cover your coffees.
Absolutely.
Have a wonderful rest of the festival, guys.
Thank you. You too.
Cheers.
Cheers.